ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Ephesians chapter 5, as we start out this morning, I'm looking at the subject of the Spirit-filled life. You see, if you are not, then you may find it very difficult to operate in the realm of the Spirit-led life. There are two different things. Spirit-filled life precede Spirit-led life. So, Ephesians chapter 5, we read from verse 14 all through to verse 17. Ephesians 5. It says, therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. So it's possible to be a believer and you're sleeping. He said, arise from the dead. It's possible to be a believer and you are spiritually dead. You can't even hear. So you are spiritually tone deaf. You can't see. You are spiritually blind. So he said, arise from the dead. What is the antidote? He said, Christ will give you light. And when you awake, when you arise, he said, you will see then that your manner of life will be different. He said, walk circumspectly. He said, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. The word redeem means buy up. One translation render it, buy up, make most of your life opportunities. He said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. He said, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, please. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. He said, but be filled with the Spirit. You know that word, but be, is a command. It's not an option. In fact, the original translation says, make it a practice. Being filled. Being filled is a continuous present tense. It's a daily lifestyle. So we started last week. Today I will look at the direct benefit of tongues. And tongues give us access to the supernatural. So what are the direct benefits? We said last week, I just pulled that in Acts chapter 2, Jesus made the promise. He said the promise of the Father in Luke 24:49. And then in Acts chapter 2, they were in the upper room. And then there was a noise from heaven because Jesus was fulfilling Luke 24:49 and said, and they were filled with the Spirit and they began. So there is an aspect of the divinity. Being filled is responsibility of God, but speaking in other tongues is the responsibility of the believer. Like I'm talking now, I have an option not to talk, even though I may be inspired to talk. I can keep quiet. So it has to take my cooperation, my will to speak so that you can hear me the way I am talking now. So they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. It wasn't the Holy Spirit who was speaking. They cooperated with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired them. There was his manifest presence. There was that inspiration. And we said last week, it doesn't come from the mind. It comes. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers. So it's not just something. It's supposed to be a continuous process. There is a fresh supply each time. So what are the direct benefits of tongues for the believer or to the believer? Number one, tongue speaking edifies you. Edifies you. I know some of us are used to that word. In reading the Bible, the word edification means build up. The word edification means exhort. The word edification means nourishment. So when you as a believer, unbeliever can't speak in tongues. I mean, if people do sorcery, because there was one man in the scripture that saw the disciple laying hands, and then people began to speak in other tongues. He said, I will give you money so that when I lay my hands, he was thinking about that merchandise of the process. So what is the criteria? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess him with your mouth, and then with that heart that you believe unto righteousness, you are saved. So that is the criteria. Once you are saved, you have access to the supernatural realm. And you can desire, because tongues we see. When we live here, there's no need. We will see God as he is. We will enjoy him as he is. There's no need for tongues. So tongues is for here. So number one benefit to you as a person is that it edifies you. It edifies you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 and 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he said, for if I pray in a tongue, said my spirit prays, but my understanding or my mind is unfruitful. It's an experience. It's a supernatural experience. So when you begin, as a matter of fact, when you practice it constantly, a lot of us, we've mastered it. It's very easy for someone like me or maybe other person in this room to switch. But when I started my faith journey, it wasn't. There are things that clusters your mind. And it happens because sometimes I look around in the services. Some people are just like that. They are trying to boot. Some people, maybe the song is what put them in that choke mode. Some people, if they can't feel it, they said, oh, maybe the Holy Spirit hasn't come. Some people are waiting to feel the goosebumps on their body. No, if you make a practice of it, you switch. You switch because it's not a product of your mind. Who will speak? And what does Paul say? He said, what is the conclusion? I will pray with the power that the Holy Spirit supplies. We'll get into that today. It's with the power. Prayer is the same thing. The Holy Spirit joins forces, empowers your spirit so that you can pray adequately the will of God into action. So I have something in my mind. Lord, we are trusting you for healing in Sokoto. That is what is in my mind. But as I begin to pray, what I find out, or when you pray in tongues, what you will find out that at a stage, you divorce yourself from the emotions. You know, generally you want to pray, God, let judgment come. But you divorce yourself from that emotion of the things that your mind can comprehend. I hope you haven't watched that video, but if you have, there is no need to watch it. It was sent to me, but I didn't. It's the height of cruelty. So you divorce yourself from that emotion, the emotion that wants, and what you pray for instead is mercy. You pray for comfort. That's what comes out of your belly. It's understandable if some of you don't get what I've just said. But as you make the practice, even when you want to pray for judgment, mercy, because that's not the name, you can't take on the nature of God. God is the one who can decide what he wants to do. God can use the blood of that girl, even though it's very sad, to spark up a revival. Some of us have seen it from a perspective. Can I wait in the face of death? Can I stand and not deny my faith? That is the lesson, take-home lesson for me. When popular opinion rises up against me, can I still stand and say, Jesus is Lord? Church is silent, so I expect it to be silent. But until we get to that point, in the face of life circumstances, Paul said something about that. He said, whether I am alive or I passed on, I am at present at home with the Lord. You know, the kind of Christianity we practice down south here is also, if I'm teaching this same thing to people in the north, they understand it. Because you just don't know. It's not guaranteed. Life is only guaranteed in the safety place of the Most High God. The devil doesn't want people to be alive, to hear the gospel. So it brings violence and destruction. So what tongues, let me get back to my message. What tongues does is that it edifies you. Jude 20 described this edification. Jude chapter 20. If you can give us in Message and Amplified Classic Translation, I will appreciate that. He said, but you, beloved, build up yourself. He said, carefully build yourself up in this most holy faith. How? By praying in the strength and the power that the Holy Spirit supplies. Let's look at Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic, compare it to the work of a construction, what you do at construction sites. It said, just like you lay the foundation, you do the German floor, and then you begin to put the blocks. He said, you can build your life that way by just learning to pray in the power that the Holy Spirit supplies. He said, but you, beloved, build yourself up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Make progress. Make progress. He said, rise like an edifice. Higher and higher. How do you achieve that with your faith, in your faith wall? He said, by praying in the Holy Spirit. Or rather, interchangeably, by praying in other tongues. The second benefit, tongue is speaking to God in divine secret language. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. One translation says, in the spirit, he speaks divine secrets. In the spirit, he speaks the language of God. That's another rendering. In the spirit, he speaks the language of God, which the human mind cannot comprehend. So there are direct benefits to us as believers. And that's why you can't afford to just be allowing this deposit to just deposit without using it. No. We have to use it. There are things that God wants us to pray about. I believe so. God wants us to pray not just about yourself, about your community, about your environment, about your sphere of influence, about your nation. You see, as you engage this, what happens is that he allows you to see the coming things. He allows you to know things about places, about people, about events. He allows you to lead ahead or live ahead of your generation. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. I mean, personally, there are some things, the Lord will help my spirit man to peak in the place of prayer. And then maybe 6 months, 2 years when it happens. And it's like, and I know that some of us will probably have that experience. It's not for the fact that I'm pastor doesn't mean every believer should have that experience. And I will say to myself, I've had this thing before. How many of you have had that experience? Or I've seen this before. Or someone has mentioned this to me before. And the Holy Spirit says, so I did. And that's why I journal, so that I can make reference to it. Praise the Lord. So what the Holy Spirit does is that tongues give you access to speak God's same language. In John chapter 8, verse 44, the Bible talks about the language of the devil. If you can give us John 8, 44, give us it in NIV. NIV renders it in that specific year. He said, you belong to your father. He was talking, Jesus was talking to the Jews, the devil, and they want to carry out. What is the ministry of the devil? John 10:10, to steal, kill, and to destroy. He said, he was a murderer from the beginning and not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. Even if you want to say the truth, it becomes a lie the moment he opens his mouth. He said, when he lies, he speaks his native language. So just like you speak Hausa, or you speak Yoruba, or you speak Igbo, or you speak Spanish, or you speak English, when the devil wants to speak, even if he's sounding like Spanish, it is lie. One translation, the one we read, is that he speaks out of his resources. So the devil can't tell you the truth. However, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So when it comes to the gift of the Spirit, Jesus warned us to live. He said, when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. He will show you things to come. He will comfort you in all your troubles. So we can take advantage of the things that has been freely given to us. I brought a Bible this morning that let me read from this particular Bible. It's not like the Living Bible. So if you have access to it, it simplifies studies. It simplifies studies. Let me read my text from it first so that you can understand. Ephesians 5. I just want quickly to read some verses that I've quoted. He said, that is why, Ephesians 5, verse 14. He said, that is why God said in the scripture, awake, O sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ shall give you life. So be careful, verse 15, how you live. Be careful how you act. These are difficult days. Don't be fools, be wise. Make the most of every opportunity you have for doing good. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to find out and do whatever the Lord wants you to do. Don't drink wine, for many evils lie along that path. But instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit and be controlled by Him. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 14. I pick on some of those verses. I just love the rendering here. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It said, but if your gift is it that being able to speak in tongues, that is to speak in languages you haven't learned. That's why I said last week, you can't teach other people to speak in other tongues. No, you can't. But they can open themselves and become a recipient of that gift. What do you do with a gift? Do you pray for it? No, you receive it. If it's tagged in your name, you receive it. Sometimes when you have it, all you just have to look at that package. Where is it from? To whom? If it's your name, from this person, then you know. I mean, you're receiving it is a function of the nature of that person, the ability of that person. You can predict certain gifts, isn't it? So when we are talking about God, it's for our benefits. So 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, it is a language that you haven't learned. And you will be talking to God, but not to others, since they won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, and it will all be a secret. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. Verse 14. He said, for if I pray in a language I don't understand, he said, my spirit is praying. My spirit is praying, but I don't know what I'm saying. So it's not intelligible. English today, help me out. Yeah, I think I'm right. I wasn't sure. So, tongue is speaking to God in divine secret language. Number 3, benefit to you as a believer. tongue is speaking the wonderful works of God. It's speaking the wonderful works of God. Said in Acts chapter 2, from verse 7 to or through to 11, he said, they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? I mentioned this last week. I mean, that first experience, even though with their own interpretation, they still thought that those guys were drunk by 9 a.m. in the morning. Said, but they had. I've had experiences where I was praying and I spoke in French. And the people who can understand French, they walk. I said, why? It's as if you were talking to me. I said, how? He said, these were the words you spoke in French. He said, that is exactly what is happening in my family. That is the God who understands all language interpreted that he knew that someone is about to be blessed in that service. So my own tongue, which I thought was just tongue, was someone else's language. And at the end, he said, they were amazed. So obviously, everyone who heard them at that very first instance, they didn't even understand that they can speak there. It's just like President Buhari is in this room and he starts to speak Ijebu dialect and he's speaking it fluently. That has to be supernatural. That's what we are saying. And that is the supernatural aspect to this tongue. So he said, they were amazed. Verse 11. I want us to go to verse 11. He said, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So this happened in worship. I want to demonstrate as far as I can today. So this happened in there is nothing you cannot do. So we're singing that. And then sometimes it elicited response. You can do it. Lendarama soleka. I know you will do it. Leba sotika bo sotori. And then some people are not following anymore. They just lift their hands and they magnify, they exalt, because what they are hearing is that whatever my circumstances is, God is able to do. And it takes the supernatural, and sometimes it's with tears in some people's faces. It's not, it's tears of joy that finally solution has come. So they had them magnify the wonderful works. Because later on, when Peter got up to preach, he was telling them history. And then they now can see that the Gentiles now have access to the gift of the Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen this morning? So the wonderful works of God, tongues helps us. And then number 4, which is closely related, tongues magnifies God. Acts 10:46, when the Gentiles have that same experience, they said they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And magnify God. And all I am, hallelujah at your feet. I'm humbled by the wonder of your majesty. Wonderful are you, Lord. I mean, the leader is taking the song. So I'm saying, I love you, Lord. They magnify God. Lord, you are great, and your mercy endureth forever. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from that accident last week. They magnify God. Vain is the help of man. Lord, you are my all. You are my sufficiency. They magnify God. So tongues helps you to magnify God. Number 5, tongues helps you to pray effectively. To pray. What it does is that you still your mind. Your mind becomes unfruitful. And then you align with the thought of God concerning the subject matter. So tongues helps you to pray. to pray perfectly. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, if you can give us in as many translations as you can, priority number one, NKJV, and then you can do TPT, you can do Message, you can do Amplified Classic, you can even do NIV. Let's see how we can go. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helps is capital S, which means is a person. In the earlier translation, they use it for him, but hey, in the newer translation, he is a person, the third person of the Trinity. So the Spirit also helps. Because Jesus said, when I go, I will give you another one in the same capacity, in the same power, just like I have been to you. I've been a provider, I will bring another provider. I've been a sustainer, I will sustain you again. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's talking about it. Said, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray. For as we ought, it's not that we don't know what to pray for, but to pray effectively, we need the strength of the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Can we do other translations, please? Other translation. He said, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our head and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet with our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. Other translations, please. Thank you this morning. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we do not know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in, and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans is the tongues that can help you achieve that. It's tongues. You are limited in the use of words. That's why I say we are limited even in the use of language. Except you are reading out prayer. Nobody in this room can probably pray 1 hour at a stretch without repeating themselves. Nobody. Nobody. Except you are reading it out. It's already marked out. So you are reading it. Said, and in the same way, by our faith, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems and in our praying. For we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit pray for us with such a feeling that it cannot be expressed. So the individual believer who is a spirit man must align with the Holy Spirit, and there is a supply. And out of that experience, he must cooperate with his or her vocal cavity so that words which cannot be expressed in ordinary languages can be expressed. I don't know if you've had this experience. For some of us who have practiced this thing, sometimes you are praying. I mean, your body is weak and you are sitting down. And then you start out. And then suddenly, you get on your feet. And then suddenly, you start to pace. And suddenly, the things that you were not even asking for, when you start out, pictures begin to drop down. And suddenly, you begin a conversation. So, what will you have me do about this? And suddenly, I mean, clarity comes. It may be about you. It may be about another person entirely. For those people around me, I have one experience that is very normal. Once your picture begins to drop, you know, you just, I wake up, I'm walking, I'm doing, someone's picture just comes. Someone's picture just comes. Then I start to pray. And usually when I pray, if I still don't feel the release, I ask them. I said, this person, when last have you heard from him? Yeah, somebody say, oh, I heard from him last week. No, I said, is he okay or is she okay? And then, If I don't have a release, that's the word we use. If I don't have a release, I send them a message. If I don't have that person's number, I get their number. And then I pray again before sending any message. And usually, 100%, most of the time, whatever I send is accurate. Why? I took time. And that's what I'm saying. It doesn't have to necessarily concern you. It's the same thing that goes. The business is not working. Take time out to pray. There is nothing in your hand in this part of eternity that should not work. There's no business in heaven. The only business we probably have, we will see him as he is. There's no strategy in heaven. And that's why we won't stay there forever. For those who don't know, if we make all things new, we will come back. And for those who are looking for vocation, nobody will be a preacher. We see him as he is. He lives with us. So I've already chose my vocation. Yes, you are right. Probably nobody will be a doctor because no one will be sick. Said a little child will be 100 years old. Any people, that's what the word is called, glory. And when you see people who are actually active in this thing, they're still scratching. Because eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. No matter your standing today in business, there is more. No matter your standing today in that career path, there is more. You see, the things that we can use our hands to control, that's why we're human beings. But there are certain realms that even when you don't want to control it, you can't control it because the one who is the controller is the one controlling it. Those who have learned to swim in the ocean, they don't struggle to swim. If you do, you drown. Just follow the waves. Life in the spirit can be like that. A spirit-filled life, you are not supposed to struggle. So you hear believers say, I'm struggling with God. You haven't started. No, there's no need. He knows my thought and your thought from afar off. And you will agree with me, for some of us, there are many things he has even done in your life that you didn't, even the prayer point has not crossed your mind. So it's not your doing. So tongues helps us to pray. And one of the proofs that we have as Christians, as believers, is answered prayers. Let no man deceive you. Jesus, when he was talking about this before he established it, he said, when you pray that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth. It's a joy to see yourself, myself and yourself, to pray and agree on something. And we see God literally answering those things. No other faith has that. No other faith has that. So the Bible says, he who searches the heart, know what the mind of the Spirit. That's Romans 8:27. And then he makes intercession for the saints. Number 6, tongues helps us to thank God well. It helps us to thank God well. That's what tongues does. You know, in our limits, Baba Modupe, you can repeat that 50 times. But tongues will help you to thank him more. Said in everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He said, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So tongues will help us to give thanks well. You thank God well. Number 7, tongues aligns the Holy Spirit to bear witness with our spirit. Tongues aligned. So he said, be still and know that I'm God. you probably won't get the full impulse of Psalm 46:10, except in the place of prayer. So it's not just blasting, yanga, ba-la-la-la-la-la, but there is an element or a time where he stirs your soul. And then you can hear him in that gentleness. You can hear him, clarity. Your mind may not even know, most of the time, your mind can't comprehend. It's when you get out of that experience and say, okay, this thing can happen this way, this thing can happen. And most of us, we allow the mind to take over again until we run into problems. No. Follow his leading. The spirit-free life. So tongues has that witness. In Romans 8:14, then 16. Very instructive. It said, for as many as are led by their mind. No, you are not led by your mind. It says it's by the Spirit of God. And if we are children of God, he said, as many as received him, John 1, he said, to them he has gave them power to become the sons of God. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How does he lead us? He said, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, our human spirit, that we are children of God. Number 8, tongues remind us that we are joint heirs with Christ. It reminds us, Romans 8:17, said, if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and then joint heirs with Christ. If we indeed suffer with him, if you have experienced challenges, we will also be glorified with him. Number 9, tongues strengthen us. Tongues strengthen us in our inner man. That's what Ephesians 3:16 says. Tongues strengthen us. The Holy Spirit inspiring us. Then there is strength in our inner man. There is capacity. He said that he will grant unto us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in our inner man. When we have challenges in life, it's largely the area we need to look at is the area of inner strength. Even Solomon writing in Proverbs, he said, the spirit of man has the capacity to sustain him through sickness. I've had a couple of people who are sick and who says, just release me and let me go. I'm tired. And within days, they leave. That's how powerful the spirit of man is. But hey, the Bible says the Holy Spirit strengthens us in our inner man, in our inner man, in our spirit, human spirit. That entity that is made in the image and in the likeness of God. So we are strengthened in our inner man. Number 10, tongue is a sign. It's a sign. A sign. A sign. Not to those who believe, but to non-believers. Because at that realm of operation, the devil himself can't hear you. Even men don't understand. That's why they say we are speaking gibberish. Or we are out of our minds. Of course, we are out of our minds. Because we are not speaking from our minds. And we are not. We are out of our minds. We are exercising our God nature. We are exercising who we are in God. We are exercising our dominion mandate. So tongue is a sign to the non-believer, but is a token to the believer because it gives us access into the supernatural. And the things of the spirit, they are foolishness to the carnal mind. Some people will say, this tongue business, unless I can understand what I'm seeking from my mind, then that's when I will cooperate. No. You probably won't get the full benefits that way. Number 11, tongues gives rest and refreshing to your soul. Tongues, it gives rest and refreshing to your soul. It gives rest. I mean, when you pray generally, you come to a point where you break through. There is a sense of peace. And when that happens to you as an individual, you, no matter the symptoms, no matter the circumstances on the outside, you are at rest. So that's what tongue does when you exercise it. In Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12, it talks about this. It says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue, it will speak to these people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest which you may cause the weary to rest.'" And this is refreshing. He said, yet they will not hear. They will not exercise themselves. And so they still want to struggle. I understand for deep sea divers, and I've seen it one or two times in the former Babish, when someone is drowning on the beach, when people are shouting and all that, the divers, they just get ready. They are not in a hurry. They are not. Hey, somebody say, see, as long as that person is flapping, they don't rescue. Because what that person is actually technical, for those who can swim, they are looking for any object to grab. And so the tendency is that sometimes what they do, if they know that the water is carrying the person, so they jump into the sea. They swim around until that person maybe go down once and then come back again, go down, and they start to see bubble. That's when they rescue. And usually, if you are rescuing somebody, it's by the way. So imagine somebody who is struggling. And if he handles you, both the drowning. So, tongues give us, no matter how weary we are. And that's why sometimes prayer with other people, it matters. So energy is released, and then you enter into a place of rest. And then, even though the problem or the challenge may seemingly seems to be there, but there is refreshing. You still your mind. The devil, of course, will come at such instant and say, "Do you think God had you?" Say, "Well, what's your business in the first place?" And that's my own conversation. In the first place, did you hear what I said? That's not your native language. So what's your business? It's a conversation between a father and a son. He said, "Eh." So he had you think. You are just deceiving yourself. I said, "Meshio, no. Let's wait and see who is deceiving who. Papa deceiving Pekin, PDP. Did you hear me say anything to that?" So is that refreshing? Now, lastly today, tongue delivers messages from God to the people when we interpret. Tongues. I mean, you can see it demonstrated this morning. You know, there's nothing spooky about these things. And I think one of the problems that we have in the body of Christ is that we just allude this responsibility to certain set of people we call the fivefold ministry gift. No, we are still practicing the Old Testament, where the whole 4 million people will ask one man to go see God. And then whatever God says to that man, just come and tell us. In fact, at a stage, they said, "Well, you are going. This one that you are going, even the smoke around this place, we can't just go and do whatever you want to do. After, when you come back, then whatever you say that God says we should do." Some people are still practicing that with their Christianity today. Every believer have access to these things. Every believer is supposed to be filled with the Spirit. Every believer makes decisions. And when they are filled with the Spirit, they will put things in proper perspective, that they will be led by the Spirit. We can't give somebody's assist that sense of responsibility. And that's why in the body of Christ, many people are deceived. That's what I found out. Many people are just deceived. And then for many people, in parts of the world, there are traditions. So if it's Africa, there is a tradition, the same tradition. There's one mysterious God somewhere. behind the red curtain. Whether it's mysterious or not. If you come from outside Lagos, it's when they are doing road construction that some of those houses, some of those huts, falls within. Contractors demolish. They don't care what is inside that place. But I understand this day because of hunger. Ifa priest will ask for money to relocate their god. But the truth is that every believer have access to God. The veil has been torn. Jesus has given us access. And the Bible says we should come boldly. Hebrews 4. Not cowardly. Come boldly. When you come to the throne of grace. In that throne, there is mercy and there is grace. There is mercy to help you in terms of your needs. You know what Paul said, which I think is very instructive? He said, I wish all of you spoke in tongues. I wish all of you prophesied. Because the work will be easy. If every believer in this church, for example, can choose this spirit-filled life, there is no need for counseling. All we just do when we come is what is called in the mechanical in engineering industry, service. So in case your own fuel is low, so when we come for worship, not forsaking the assembly of the burning, we are charged up. We charge your battery. Some people get fuel. And then you are fired up to be a witness in the marketplace. You don't stay on the altar. You don't live on the altar. After this service, everybody goes, including the pastor. But we are faced with the reality of life. So when we come, but even in the coming, Paul emphasizes it. Someone has a song. Someone has a word. So we can elude the responsibility to just one person. I mean, the worship leader will stand here. Someone also needs to respond to the yearning. We are worshiping the God of the whole universe. I'm preaching to you. I'm not AY Life. This is not AY Life. That is just one person. But I just have the privilege to preach. But even in the preaching, you take your note. Even in the preaching, you must be hearing what the Spirit is doing, saying to you. Even in your note, you must be able to connect the message with the experience at work last week. And then make a resolve how you will go about that experience this week. Maybe the reason why you lost the opportunity is because of anger. So, you probably hear a scripture. Grievous word stirs up anger. Or you hear another scripture, maybe from the worship leader, he said, anger rests in bosom of fools. And then you make adjustment. That's the spirit-filled life. You lay aside your tradition. I lay aside my tradition. I lay aside my mindset. So when you come in contact with God, it helps you to learn, unlearn, relearn. What is the word repentance? In Samuel Ajari Crowther translation, it says, ironupinwada. In other words, what is repentance? This is the way I'm going. He said, I thought on my ways. And then I turned my feet. It's a complete turning. I turn my feet unto your testimony. In other words, what the Bible is simply saying, when all things fail, exalt the word of God as the final authority over your life. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So we have the advantage. We have the leverage to know things. There are three things the Holy Spirit will do in the life of the believer. He speaks to us. He reveals things to us. And then he does things for us. He speaks to us. And even in that speaking, there are gifts along that side. Speaking gifts. He reveals things to us. Revelatory gifts. And he does things in and through us. Doing gifts, miracles, signs and wonders. And we need to understand that. Let me close today with this. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, you shall receive power. The word power there means ability. The word power there means efficiency. The word power there means might. So three things the word power stands for. You shall receive. So believers have access. And we must understand that these things will help us. Please, in closing, you may not know how to pray, but you can make yourself available. Cooperate with God to batch his will here on the earth by learning to yield to God. Thank God for our minds, which help us to operate and interact with things in this world. But God is greater than our minds, and he will fulfill his good pleasure in us when we choose to cooperate with him. The word utterance is used 3 times in the New Testament, so you have it. And there is something, when you truly desire this spirit-filled life, power comes, ability comes, ability to do work. There is strength that comes to you. I may not be able to explain life in the spirit in tangible terms to you because it is experiential. But what I can tell you, once you start your journey from wherever you are, you go deeper and deeper. I understand that the seaboard is like this. So when you are on the beach, you can easily play around with the water. But as you walk, if you are taking a walk, this is how you are going. So you get to a point where you don't even get to a point because undercurrent can deal with you. So you just get to a point. You decide that point where you begin to swim. It's the same thing. The things of the spirit are experiential. But hey, the reason why you must know this, it says, so that we no more be children tossed away by every wind of doctrine. And I tell you, brother, sister, there is every wind of doctrine out there now. You don't just consume anything. Don't consume Indomie. What are the other pastors? And say everything is pasta. No, you may run your belly. Everything is not pasta. There are many things people consume. But hey, there is just one assurance that when we stay within the context of God's word, he responds to us. And the thing about the things of the Spirit, it is DIY. No one can do it for you. People can encourage you when you first give your heart. This is how to pray. This is what you should pray for. And God responds to you as little children who are trying to go. But there comes a time God expects you to carry other people. Carry other people. You may be used to submitting prayer requests, but at the same time, God expects other people to submit prayer requests to you. Praise God. I said, praise God. Can we just exercise our tongues for the next 5 minutes? Can we stand up and pray? Stand up and pray. I don't have to encourage you. Just go ahead and just open your mouth. He said, they receive power. He said, when the Holy Spirit has come. So he has come. He has come. I want you to just exercise it. I want you to steal your mind. It's a discipline. Just steal your mind. Steal your mind. And just get into that conversation. He said, he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man. He said, albeit in the spirit, he speaks divine mystery to God.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,